This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
There's a 300-foot-tall bluff near the village of Arpin, Wisconsin, that rises above the country landscape of Wood County. In 1905, it was named Skunk Hill. At the height of its popularity, it was home to over 80 Native Americans who settled there in an effort to preserve and protect Native culture and traditions from U.S.-sanctioned suppression.
Robert Birmingham joins us now. He served as state archaeologist for the Wisconsin Historical Society, and he teaches at UW-Waukesha. His new book is called Skunk Hill, A Native Ceremonial Community in Wisconsin. Robert, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you have been studying this this community at Skunk Hill for a long time. I think I read 30 years. What was so interesting and fascinating to you about that?
Well, actually, the phenomenon that I was studying was off-reservation Indian communities. That is, are Native people who were living in places, often in very remote places, right into the 20th century, in order so that they could pursue traditional ways and traditional religious beliefs without interference of the United States. So I had, many years ago, studied a few of these communities, and starting about year 2000, began work with Native people, county officials, and others on this community of Skunk Hill because it is currently a part of a county park. And controversy started to erupt over appropriate land use on an area that local Native people thought was sacred and, of course, had several cemeteries and so on. So as a part of that controversy, I and my office at the State Archaeologist Office, State Historical Society, went up and began to gather information about the community. And it was a part of this story, a broader story, that was so interesting and so relevant, I think, today, that I turned it into a book.
Well, let's talk about that location. It's in Wood County. You said it's the site of a county park today. Why did that particular location, Skunk Hill, become the site of this off-reservation community?
Well, it goes back to the 19th century, and this is a small mountain. It's a mountain that's mostly rocky. In fact, it's not a very good place to live at all. But it had significance to people who were living in the area, for example, the Potawatomi, who lived in the area. They lived in the area because they had been refused to be removed to a Western reservation. And they held it in significance and, in fact, probably started calling it Skunk Hill a long time ago. And then it was logged over by lumbering interests. And around 1900, it was still being referred to as Bald Mountain. So it wasn't very good for anything for other people. But in 1905, a number of Native people, Potawatomi, from the Kansas Reservation, actually purchased the land so they could move there and pursue traditional ways, and especially a spiritual movement, a rather new spiritual movement called the Dream Dance. Traditional ways, ceremonies, speaking of Native language had all been ruled illegal for reservations. So these folks, between 80 and 100, came to Wisconsin, took a train. Trains ended up at this place that they had purchased and formed a community that was based around the practice of this dream dance, but also other traditional ceremonies.
And before we get into the dream dance, I guess it's also called the drum dance, I want to talk a little bit about the context historically. So what was going on between the United States and Native Americans at this time, just to set us up on what the relationships were like.
Yeah, the relationship between Native peoples, indigenous nations, and so on in the United States changed considerably through time. And for a time, the United States made treaties with Native people. The natives would give up certain lands and they would be given compensation, monies, and so on. About 1830, or exactly in 1830, a new policy began that sought to remove all Native people from east of the Mississippi River and send them to reservations. These were coerced treaties and so on. And a number of people here in Wisconsin refused to leave. Among them were the Ho-Chunk, Wisconsin Ho-Chunk today, and Potawatomi. Now, beginning in the 1870s, American policy again changed, and the idea was to do away with reservations altogether. And some very well-meaning people, and people we would call liberals today, even back this, saying it's better for the Native people if they are absorbed in the broader dominant culture. And so a number of policies were set up to force Natives into the dominant culture. Reservations were carved up into individual plots, and the individual Native people were expected to become farmers and ranchers and so on, and become very productive, and sort of the, you know, Judeo-Christian value system. And but religious ceremonies were forbidden. Speaking the language on reservations was forbidden. Children were taken from their parents and sent to boarding schools to learn white ways and menial tasks. And so a great deal of oppression occurred. And then, however, in that context, we see a number of nativistic movements arise among Native people. And one of these was called the Dream Dance originally. And it sought to return people to traditional ways, but also had a new message. And because of all the conflicts between Natives themselves and the whites, it emphasized peaceful accommodation between peoples.
And we're going to find out more about what that is in just a moment as we talk right now with Robert Birmingham. He's the author of the new book, Skunk Hill, A Native Ceremonial Community in Wisconsin. Skunk Hill is in Wood County. And we're talking about this dream dance. And this has quite a history and a story behind it. And also there's the role of what it meant in the community. But let's start with 101. What was the dream dance?
Well, again, it was what anthropologists refer to generally as a cultural revitalization movement, when cultures throughout the world are under certain kinds of repression. Oftentimes, a messiah-like figure will arise and say, we need to do this in order to get back to who we are. But often new messages would be introduced here. And among the oral histories of many Native peoples, a young woman called a Tailfeather Woman was a Sioux girl or a woman who, after attack on her village, crawled out into the weeds and after some days had basically the Great Spirit talk to her and said, you are to go and to make a big drum, a huge drum. Most drums at the time were small hand drums. But her message was, no, we Native people should drum together. And so it introduced what is often referred to today as the powwow drum, and very familiar in powwows, you know, throughout the nation. But large drums, but they are to be beaten together. And she also gave ceremonies, specific ceremonies that should be conducted, and also a code of life, rejecting vices, many of them introduced by whites, of course, but other, you know, things like adultery and drinking and so on, these were forbidden, to live a righteous life, but one dedicated to peace. And this ceremony was really, the dream dance ceremony was that. It's also called a drum dance. It was not just a dance, it's a way of life, but there were a number of ceremonies, seasonal ceremonies, that attended to it, and it still survives today, and it's called the Big Drum.
So this way of life, the drum dance way of life, was at the corner, or I should say the center, rather, yes, of this community. That's what this was all about, living this lifestyle.
Yeah, like I said, it was Powers Bluff, where the community is located, is not a very good place to live. I mean, there's the only water are a few springs, and the area is not on a lake or a river. And at the time, it was occupied. It was surrounded mostly by farms. So there were no real good hunting and so on. So the community was established specifically as a religious community, a ceremonial community, rather than one that was simply a good place to live.
How unusual was that at the time?
The Skunk Hill was actually predated by several other ceremonial communities, all founded by an individual named John Young, who was a disciple of this spiritual movement. And he, in fact, had a number of communities. They had to change location constantly because of white settlement pressure and so on. So there were other communities like it, and they were all dedicated, again, to the Dream Dance or the Big Drum.
So what happened to this community?
It dissipated after a time, and there are a number of reasons for that. One is towards the end of the 1920s and early 30s, pressure was taken off Native people on reservations. The United States government had realized that this whole all these programs had been a total disaster, only accelerated the poverty and misery of Native people. And so ultimately in 1834, under the Roosevelt administration, all of these policies were thrown out the window, reservations are restored. So in one respect, these special communities weren't needed as much before. But also, again, this is a tough place to live. People moved on to find jobs. Certainly the Great Depression didn't help, but we saw people moving there. I mean, people were living there until the in 1950s, 1960s, there were still people there. And the descendants of Skunk Hill still live in the general area.
Such an interesting story. Thank you so much for sharing it today.
You bet.
We've been talking to Robert Birmingham, author of the book Skunk Hill, a Native Ceremonial Community in Wisconsin. Robert Birmingham is a professor at UW-Waukesha.
I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.